It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only podcast that features our league of record. Tonight, we have a special podcast for you. It's our pre-draft predictions podcast. We're doing this the night before, and I'm going to edit this right after, get this out. Let me introduce, first of all, the namesake of the show, or the other namesake, Mr. Chief himself.
Good, Chad. I predict there will be much ballyhoo, maybe a kerfuffle or two. But I predict a lot of merry nice podcasts.
Did you get a new War of the Day calendar?
No. Ballyhoo is I coined Ballyhoo in our chat. I'm proud to say that I am the founder of Ballyhoo in the league chat. I didn't even realize that I was. We learned something new every day in that chat.
Okay. So we'll have to fact check that. We have two special guests. It's probably not surprising.
It's been fact checked. You were just skimming.
That's probably true as well. We have two special guests. They are special guests that are frequently on the show. And I think the people we did the Christmas podcast last year, that's Joe Mancuso and Matthew Gelson. Welcome, gentlemen.
My prediction.
Lifetime member.
My prediction.
Bally's Total Fitness.
My first prediction is that Joe Mancuso's prediction for the podcast is pain.
Nailed it.
I also will second your comment. I know about there being a ballyhoo, but if it's not a ballyhoo, perhaps it will be a hullabaloo.
A hullabaloo, yes. Lots of hullabaloo. So Chaz, what do we got on? What do we got on tap? Where are we starting off with this tonight? Let's dive right in.
Let's talk about. Yeah, sorry, I'm just having a drink here. Come
on. Can we talk first, Chaz, about when you thought the draft was?
Great radio. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, yes. We can talk about that. So these guys asked this week. I texted High Note last week, being like, let's get a podcast in this week. And then these guys, Joe and Gelsh, texted me and High Note and was like, let's do the podcast for our predictions. I'm like, sure, let's do it next week. That'll give me enough time to edit it before the draft the week after, because I totally thought that draft was not what it is. So feel free to lay it on right now.
He's so deep into not preparing for the draft, he doesn't even know when it is.
That's how he prefers it, though.
How much he's not preparing for the draft this year.
It's like a groundhog.
Accurate, I've only got four guys I know I'm absolutely getting. I don't know how the rest of the draft is going to play out.
But what if you see your own shadow? That's what I want to know. Will you go back into your little burrow and not get your guys?
No, I'll just spend $5 more.
Nice. Spring will come early this year. So you really thought that the draft was like another week away. That's impressive.
I didn't realize that it was like the last week of August.
That was gonna be my next point.
Stuff and then traveling. I'm really off on my dates. And so I guess I thought that we was an extra week before draft was gonna happen. And it's funny because we have our draft tomorrow night and I have my family draft the night after on Tuesday. So it's a good thing that you guys brought it up and that's in my calendar, because Kat would have probably reminded me like last minute that we have draft tomorrow night, and I would have been like, oh shit, and I wouldn't have been prepared at all. And as now, I feel slightly prepared.
It's a good thing you have so many drafts coming up, because you could use some drafts with no AC in the house.
Nice. Yeah, that's
yes.
That's a phenomenal wordplay. It's been a little hot. Technically, the past couple days have been a little rainy. So, you know, we're able to open up the windows at night, help cool things down. We did sign an agreement yesterday, so hopefully sometime this coming week, by Thursday, they tell us we'll have it. And thankfully, we didn't have to replace the whole system, just the AC.
As somebody who doesn't own a home and haven't read about all the horror stories of people and dealing with things like this, I don't think I'm ever going to own a home now. I'm just going to rent. Rest of my life, get it? Maybe.
I mean, there's.
I know. I ain't buying a home ever.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Upkeep, you know, roof, HVAC, windows. those are all things that like just need to be replaced every 15 to 30 years, depending on what it is. There are benefits though, right? I got my own property. You could fuck as loud as you want. No one's going to bang on the walls, right? There's lots of reasons why owning your own home is good. I know.
I have done my fair share of that second thing that you mentioned. I've never had anybody bang on the walls to tell me it's been too loud. So I've
nice.
Are you
not a concern for me?
Are you a pillow biter?
That's for Chief and Chaz after dark. It's not an appropriate conversation for this audience.
Wall banging pillow biters. Great team name.
We're on a video chat right now, and I just see Gus with his hands in his face.
It's funny. Before that, I was distracted because about, I don't know, 60 seconds ago, I was wondering, you either assess your armpit hair in your left armpit or smell your left armpit? It looked like you raised your hand and took a gander in there and perhaps even a sniff. I wasn't sure what was going on there. Maybe you were just flexing.
Oh, did we lose Joe?
Oh no.
Oh no, we lost Joe. He's in the void. He was moving in his house. Maybe a Wi-Fi dead zone in his house. We lost him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not here, so let's talk about him. So how do you guys feel about Joe this year, and what do you think his draft strategy is going to be?
His draft strategy, he plays it fairly loose. All right, I think
he's back now.
He's back. All right. Just no image of him though.
Yeah, I'm coming. I'll be visible again soon. There we go.
Oh, there he is. All right.
So, what was going on with the left armpit?
We need that answered first.
I don't know if you heard my comment.
No, I don't know.
Oh, so it looked previously like you were either checking out your armpit hair in your left armpit, giving it a little sniff, or perhaps you were just flexing your left bicep. You put it behind the head and then gave a little turnover. Sure. So that's where I was.
It might have been a bad smell. Could have been. I don't really know. Didn't think about it.
If you're wondering, Gilch, my left pick could use a nice wash and deodorant stroke.
Okay.
Right now.
Noted.
Yep.
Might have just been surprised. I did shower, so I might have put it up. I mean, like, is that me? Yep. Oh yeah. Wait. Yeah, that was me. Yep.
You're supposed to wash under your arms, right, buddy?
Yeah, but it's hot, man. I'm sitting out on my porch, and it's warm.
All right, what are we doing here?
Let's dive into it, Gilch. You had like a number of things that you wanted to.
So yeah, so I love my my prediction research, which I probably spend way too much time on and should be doing more to prepare for the draft. But what I did was to start. I went through the top three players at each of the four major positions. Sorry, Gates, I did not count defense and special teams in there. And then took a guess as to who would draft that person. And I started with quarterback. And so the top three being Mahomes, Allen, and Kyler Murray. And my predictions.
Murray, the top three back? Quarterback, wow.
He's third.
He's third, yep.
Wow, that surprised me.
So
Chaz has thrown us off the scent. He's done no preparation again.
No, Chaz is just really hot from Kyler Murray.
Continue.
So my guesses here were, and I didn't have a great feel on these, but I said I think Mahomes goes to Rachel. I think Josh Allen goes back to Tim. I think he beats Heino in a bidding war, and I think Kyler Murray goes to Riley. I think Riley spends a little bit extra to get Kyler.
I'd go Chaz on Kyler Murray.
You also put in like, okay, is it just because of what I said earlier?
Yeah, just because of that. Mostly joking.
Did you predict like pricing wise as well, Gilch? Kind of what the spending would be, or no?
Not on these guys. I'm happy to take guesses on them. But for this one, I was just guessing. Why? What are your guesses on the prices or reactions to any of those that I threw out there?
I mean, if I had to guess, I think Mahomes is going to go to the 20s. I think Josh is probably like low 20s. And if you're saying Kyler Murray is going to be a third off the board, I mean, I would say like high teens, low 20s. I had no idea that Murray was that high up. I would have thought Wilson or Jackson would have been there. So, I mean, I think the ceiling for quarterbacks this year is like 28, 29.
Wow. That would be nearly double the listed price.
What did Mahomes go for last year? And what are the
40.
Didn't he go? Didn't
Mahomes went for 40 and Lamar went for 37 or vice versa?
I spent a lot on Lamar last year. So
it might have been Lamar 40 and Mahomes 37. There's definitely those two prices.
Definitely yeah, Lamar went like 40, Mahomes 40,
37. It definitely delves into a more kind of deeper discussion about quarterback value and prices this year. I think because of Lamar and Mahomes, like that happening last year, I don't think it's going to happen again this year. I feel like we're gonna see a decrease in, like, I do think like high 20s sounds about right for Mahomes, maybe low
30s. Same.
I don't think
the year before I got Mahomes, after Mahomes' first great year in 2019, I got Mahomes for $21. So I think he'll go for more than that, but I don't think he'll go for above 30.
It'll be curious to see who does go first quarterback wise, because I think that will set sort of, if it is Mahomes, right, it's going to set the ceiling theoretically. If it's not, let's say it's Murray, right, you potentially still have a few players that might go above him. So it's going to be curious to see who actually goes off the board first at quarterback and kind of how that sets the market.
It's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder how many people will be waiting for that, or how many people are going to go and be like, you know, I'm going to get Mahomes. I feel like Mike might come back in and be like, you know what, I kind of liked having Mahomes. And Johnny might say, you know, my quarterbacks are really bad last year, so I'm okay with having a good quarterback. Very possible. That'd probably be my guess for Mahomes.
That is one of the biggest uncertainties for me about the entire draft, is how that new duo works. As I was making predictions, I forgot that the two of them were paired together.
One of my favorite predictions would go be to go through and be like, who's no one going to want? And who's Johnny going to steal for this low price? Yeah. Like, I believe one year I texted Gelch, like, Johnny's getting LeSean McCoy, just doesn't know it yet. And he did. He did get him. I felt really good about that text. The screenshot's somewhere in the WhatsApp chat history of that text.
I think that's a very good prediction, though, Joe, because Mike tends to go with safe, reliable folks. And Johnny, after having terrible quarterback play a year ago, I think that makes a lot of sense that they might be able to go high on.
And so I'll jump ahead then, enough, because it's I suppose relevant. I had for the two of them one player that I could see the two of them getting. Well, actually, so I this was kind of a catch-all. I said chances are very high that their team ends with a Jones on their roster. So you could throw in Aaron Jones, but specifically either Julio Jones or Marvin Jones ends up on their team is my call. And I can just see it right now. Marvin Jones, who's listed at $4, he's going to be at 5 or 6 going to Mike or Johnny. And someone's going to be like, well, like, that's probably good value. I don't really want Marvin Jones on my team, but I don't want them to get him for that cheap. Whatever. I'm not going to bid. And he's going to go for like $5 or $6 and end up on Mike and Johnny's squad. That's one of the ones I feel best about.
So I guess one of the ones I feel. From
Jacksonville?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, I was wondering why like the price of like DJ Chark seems so down. I would have thought like his price would have been like much higher with Trevor Lawrence having a quarterback from Ryan Pro, but Marvin Jones being there really puts a hamper on that, huh?
Yeah, and Chark was pretty bad last year. Well, it was just a depressing situation all around. I really like Johnny and Mike. I wonder how much they're like talking about like their like specific targets, because I feel like, you know, like my draft strategy is like probably most years more ambiguous. Like I'll have like these like tiers of guys, and like if it gets past this tier, like I need to like make a move like right now. I haven't yet, or I want to get one of these guys. Like when you're trying to nail down with like somebody who you haven't done a draft with before, which is very tricky, but could be very fun. I haven't done an auction draft. you might hone in on more specific targets. And who is easier to agree upon?
You mean salary cap league, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Salary cap. You're right. And so you might hone in on more specific targets. And you know, who's the most easily agreeable target that's out there that everyone in this league loves? And that is Christian McCaffrey. So I think they're going to get him, and he's going to go a little lower this year because of uncertainty at the top. Like maybe like not the 68, but more back into this
62. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, I think they're going to get him. That's one of the predictions I feel best about. What's that?
Is that team situation with Darnold being the quarterback there, does that make McCaffrey more attractive if you take away the
I don't stuff? Well, I don't think you can take away the injury stuff, though. I think that's going to be baked into his price no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, they've used him a ton. Like, how much is the injury stuff just fluke stuff, or how much is it, you know? They used him a ton the 2 years before that.
One of my predictions was that, kind of along your lines, was that we're only going to have, I don't know how many $60 players we've had in recent years, but like only two this year. I think Cook gets there as well. But I think that's it. It's McCaffrey and Cook are the only two $60 players. And I think Kamara and Henry go for mid 50s.
That's a great prediction. I agree with that.
Right. I see for CMC, I was thinking where you guys were that he probably goes in the range of 62. I almost went Chaz for CMC, but I was feeling Job on that one. And then for Cook, I almost went Rachel, but Rachel has never spent more than $30 on a running back before. Which is then why I decided to lock in Chaz for Cook. And then, And then Saquon Barkley, I think, ends up with Tim. I think Tim gets Barkley for way, way under.
I think Tim goes back to the well a lot this year. I think he, you know, you have him with going for, you know, Josh Allen going back to his team. One of my things was I have Derrick Henry and Darren Waller.
I have Derrick Henry going back to Tim's team as well.
Yes.
But I think your logic on Saquon, because that's how he got Henry last year. It's like, whoa. Yeah. Nobody's bidding anymore on Henry. We're stopping. Okay.
I think JOB goes back to the Kamara well.
Ooh.
After just getting demolished by him in the playoffs last year. I think he goes back to Alvin
Kamara. He probably wouldn't have if it wasn't for Jameis being named the quarterback, because Jameis as quarterback makes that team way more fun.
Yeah, but when you get down to the goal line, though, you know Taysom Hill is coming in, and so same issues are still going to be there. But
that's why you don't draft Jameis.
Yeah, I think he gets back on that train this year.
If you draft Jameis Winston and you're listening to this podcast afterwards, just know that every time Taysom Hill comes in the goal line, if you're on WhatsApp, I know he's going to let you know. But hey, you're not getting a touchdown, buddy.
That may or may not be a correct prediction.
Pass interference down to the one.
Down to the one. Here comes Taysom Hill.
I can't wait for it.
I came across a couple interesting stats as I was prepping for this prediction pod. One of which is that in five of the last 6 years, Mike has gotten one of the three most expensive tight ends. And actually in 3 years, Mike spent the most on tight end, which leads me to think, as you were saying, Joe, like they're going to pair up and say, who are the guys they're going to lock in on?
Travis Kelce.
I think they lock in on Travis Kelce.
So is Kelce going to be the first $50 tight end? Because I feel it.
Yeah, I do.
Because if we're saying like that he's clearly a top eight guy when we're doing like the mock before, like he's got to go 50.
I think so. I think it gets to 50 this year.
Yeah, I don't think it goes much above that.
Like, I don't think it, no. Like it's going to be high 40s, 51, 52. People will not go past that. But I do think he can get to 50. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd put it right at 49.5 if I was putting odds on over under.
Yeah.
Like it's right there. Like I don't even feel good about it. Earlier today, I wrote down Travis Kelce goes for 49, but I have no idea who's going to do it because I just can't envision the. Like it absolutely makes sense, so I'm not knocking the pick at all. But Like, spoil, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I don't know how to do that. I can't put 49 out there for a tight end.
I like playing the tight end roulette a little too much, I think, sometimes, just to spend $50 on a tight end. Because I like finding tight ends for cheap.
Because Kelsey went for 40-plus last year. Yeah, he's definitely – I wouldn't be surprised if Joe went back to the well there, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah,
He just knew.
I think that makes a lot of sense, though, Gelch, especially with the research you did on Mike's tight end preferences.
Yes.
Well, I think
we all know Mike likes a good tight end.
I think Waller I feel very certain that Joe Mancuso will not be the one to draft Travis Kelce for $50 or $51, because only one time since 2015 has Joe Mancuso spent $50 or more for a player. And in fact, only three other times has he spent over $40 on a player, by far the lowest of anyone in this group. Any guesses as to who has spent the most on players $40 or more?
Me.
Ooh, yeah, Hino's definitely up there. Cat might be up there.
Chaz might be up there because he did the three running.
Oh yeah, all in 1 year. Yeah.
I would say me.
Correct answer, Chaz.
Oh, you Chaz missed it. Chaz, you have spent the most money on $40 or more players in league history. Congratulations.
Yeah, that seems completely accurate.
And then Mike was second based on my...
That also makes sense, yeah.
Look, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Little fun fact. I don't know if anybody made a little pivot table on the 2015, the present draft data, but if you look at the premium or discount column and filter it by owner from all 6 years, it's me, Johnny, and Mike in some order for the three biggest bargain shoppers.
I've got to be. I'm probably at the bottom, aren't I?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I don't have it in front of me right now. I just found it interesting.
I overpaid. You know, if you use those metrics, just for those out there wondering about bargain shopping, I overpaid. I don't know, maybe more than I ever have in a draft compared to listed prices last year, and it worked out okay. So,
yep, keep that in absolutely. Mind. Yeah. You got some guys, go for them. I've come into the last like three or four drafts like trying to get like a top end guy, and it's been ever since Chaz pulled the ripcord in 2018, it's been a lot more expensive for my blood. So we'll see if I pull the trigger this year. I think there might be some more uncertainty at the top. There's gonna be
I think there's gonna be two guys that slip by for like $48, $49
and then we will look at it after
55.
And then we'll look at it after everyone goes for like 58 later, because people are like seeing the running backs whittle away. And then you'll be like, oh, you know, I kind of hate that guy a little bit. But like, you know, sometimes it looks good. Like Fournette looked good for you that 1 year because you got him before the big run on running backs for like
right
at 50 even or 49. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
I came out of that very happy with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was just, you know, just didn't work out.
I was talking about this with Joe earlier in the week, but. And Chaz just completely broke the draft and had a pretty significant influence on people, their drafting strategy since 2018, where in 2015, 16, and 17, the top five running back average went from 51 to 49 to 52. But then in 2018, it jumped up to 62 as a result of Chaz's shenanigans. And then since that point, it's stayed at 58 and 60. Even looking at the median for a top five guy the last
three I think years, it's coming. I think it's coming back 61. Down.
So I do think it'll come back down a little, but I do wonder how much have people just become accustomed to, well, it's not that outrageous to spend 55.
I think just based on the last, especially last year with the whiff rate on top running backs. And I felt it a little bit myself, which is why I changed up my strategy last year. I just think people are starting to, you know, like if you get a 60-yard guy and he gets hurt, you know, that's it. Your team is torpedoed pretty much. Like there's not a lot you can come back from that.
Who had Saquon Barkley last year?
Oh, come on.
Be Gelt.
That's a low blow.
There's not a lot you can do to come back from that. So I think it comes back. Those averages come back down a little bit. People want to store a little more money. And yeah, that's why one of the reasons why I think there's only going to be two $60 players tomorrow.
Yeah. Also,
I did have you peg Chief for a 35 and under strategy this year. I think given how well it worked last year,
it wasn't 35 under. I did pay like low 40s for Tyreek Hill. I did splurge.
Ah, that is true. That's true.
But generally speaking, yes, that was the lowest I had ever paid for my top pick.
Also, I do want to throw this out there. And this is one of the things that, you know, Chaz did change things. You know, he made people more willing to say, hey, I'm going to go in this draft and spend 60 for X and Y. You know, Jake and Ryan tend to save their money for late in the draft, and Gates also. So, you know, we lost Gates to the co-ownership. And then Jake and Ryan both left in subsequent years. But Gates is back. I don't know how we haven't talked about him. I have no idea what he's going to do. And I love it. It's such a great element in the draft.
I just have him pegged for getting Justin Fields at whatever it's going to cost. Like, he's coming out with Justin Fields no matter what tomorrow.
But there's like, at some
point. Highly disappointed if that doesn't happen.
There's at some point in every draft with Gates where someone's going to be like, I really, really want this guy to be part of my team. Like, his options are dwindling down. And Gates is sitting there with $60. Everybody else has 30 or under. Mm-hmm. And you nominate, and this is my prediction for Gates, one of Gates' guys. And it's just a shot at the wall. You flip the card and you're like, man, I'm going to get Jerry Jeudy for $10 or $8 or whatever. And then you're like, oh no, Gates is bidding plus one.
Gates
everything.
Is bidding.
and then you say in chat, you're like, Gates, would it have mattered if I had more money? He just says, no.
The thing is, like it doesn't matter how good it's going to make his team. It's just going to screw over your draft strategy.
And yeah.
Like his team may end up being terrible, which in some years it has been, but he just messes with the draft so much and people's strategies in that way.
Maybe he won't do that this year. Maybe he'll do something completely unpredictable because he thinks we're going to think he's going to do that. I don't know.
I don't know. No, I think he likes that too much, being able to just like stomp on people's necks halfway through the draft or three quarters of the way through the draft.
Yeah, but anyway, if he does do that, that's less money at the front of the draft because he almost never went for a top guy since like 2014.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the top three receivers, Adams, Hill, and Diggs? Who do you think circles them?
Diggs is the third receiver?
Yes. He's number one in the Buffalo offense.
Circling Chaz for Diggs.
I get that.
Yeah.
I know.
Chaz pulling a lot of diversions here today. Kyler Murray and Diggs. Book it for Chaz.
No, I had Adams, Hill, Ridley, Hopkins, and Metcalf all before Diggs. Maybe I'm really off.
He had a lot of catches last year.
Great pick by Rachel last year. Get Diggs by $13. So she went over value.
Ended up being the pick of the draft overall.
Terp, Maryland Terp. She'll never listen
Josh,
to this. But
Josh Allen.
Kudos, Rachel. I might have her. I have her going back on one of them. For sure, but maybe Diggs again. Even to be honest.
Wow.
I mean, you hit that home run. And
you want to swing for the fences again. Yeah.
I don't know who's gonna go Adams. Cat.
That's Cat what I Adams. Have, man. That's what I have.
That does feel very, very cat like.
I just want to call back to I just want to zing back on Davante Adams to the Chaz is still at the station waving goodbye to the Davante Adams hype train from like 3 or 4 years ago. That was a high notes comment.
Year,
that's
one year, the one year I drafted him, the year he sucked and was hurt. Yep.
Was that what I wrote?
No, you guys were on the podcast, and Chaz was saying there's no way he gets He was just out taking the under on Devonta Adams everything that year. Yeah. As the new Packers number one receiver. And and you said, well, see you later, Chaz. We're at the station saying goodbye to you as the Devonta Adams hype train leaves or something. I was burned in my mind as I was walking to work laughing at that.
Anyway, I didn't look this up. I didn't look this up, but I have in my head that Kat just has a strong affinity for highly priced Packers. And part of that's probably because of getting Rodgers early on. But yeah, I think I had her down for Adams. For Diggs, I feel pretty decent about my guess for Diggs. I think he'd be in the mix. I'm going to go with Coop. I can't see him having that Buffalo affinity. It was interesting. I was pulling up Diggs stuff from the draft promenade document that Mancuso shared.
You were digging it up, perhaps?
I was digging it up. And he is gone for $6, $15, $29, $23, and $13. Pretty impressive value over the course of the last five drafts.
Oh, wow.
So I have a feeling he'll...
He's very injury prone. You know, last year was the first Greg call that he didn't miss at least a couple games.
It would be frustrating too, because it'd be like a little nick or something, but then he'd try to play through it and it would be awful.
It would stink, right? Yeah.
And then you'd be like, well, you might as well just sit. But
there was a podcast I did that how he did when he just appeared on the injury report. Like, and I forget the numbers, but to your point, Joe, like if he was just on the injury report with something, like his production was like way down. When he wasn't on the injury report, you know, all systems go. But yeah, if he was just dinged up with something and tried to play through it, bet. Not great. Not great, Bob.
I just wanted to interrupt the podcast real quick to do like quick ad drop. I'm really a big fan of this this alcoholic beverage I'm drinking, Mike's Hard Promenade. Mike's Hard Promenade Cat. It's really good. Highly recommend.
Can you describe the flavor for us?
It tastes like you're taking a walk on the beach, but in really fancy clothes.
Some might say that tastes like a championship. Not that everyone who's listening to this knows what that tastes like.
Oh, no. Not everyone.
Or on this podcast.
Ooh, I was thinking it, but you had to say it.
Sorry, Chaz.
One second. I got to get this awkward turtle off my porch. It's stuck on its back and it can't get out.
What? Well, we got to turn the camera around.
I'm just joking. It was a joke. Awkward turtle. You know.
I was going to say, that had to be a euphemism.
No turtles were harmed on the Mancuso porch. Don't worry.
What about Hill? Who do you think Hill? I've got someone in mind for Hill this year.
Joe O'Brien.
Joe O'Brien. He's just always up there one way or another.
Yeah. He always wants at least, well, we saw last year, he wanted the whole Kansas City offense. He always wants at least a piece of the Kansas City offense.
That's a pretty nice piece. Kelsey's going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. Hill's always going to get a couple.
Hill tends to go for, a couple bucks less because, you know, ethical issues. But Joe has no qualms.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with taking Hill.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that feels right.
Not again.
Oh, I think we lost Joe again.
I don't know if anyone caught that, but famous last words. He said, not again. And then he froze.
Not again.
What, Chaz, we haven't heard much from you. What
I know. Let's,
you
let's get some Chaz predictions here.
Apparently, I'm doing most of my research tonight after listening to you people. Because I just...
What do you mean, you people?
You.
Champions.
You podcast. yeah. Nice. I was really out of touch. That's really what it comes down to. So I'm like furiously like just looking up stats and numbers and ADPs just like to look at, figure out, okay, who do I actually, you know, who do I like in certain areas? There were four people that I was pretty sure I was gonna walk out of the draft with, but now I'm maybe changing my mind. So that's what I'm changing my strategy last minute, which
we're not influencing them.
Time I've done that. Yeah, you are a little bit.
We're influencers, guys. Congratulations.
Yeah, you know, what I think I'm most curious about for this year is rookies. And I feel like we are seeing, and I knew we talked about this in the past, but I feel like every year we see more and more rookie creep with more rookies kind of coming up. And I feel like this year, specifically for running backs, right, there's all these running backs that are, like, incredibly intriguing, right? Najee Harris, Javonte Williams. You know, there's a whole group of these guys that I don't know where to peg their value.
They're pegging out here.
Weird.
Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. You know, there's some of them that, like, I don't know what the value is because they're in some sort of weird committee. Like James Robinson, I wasn't sure about, but then, Etienne got hurt, and all of a sudden Robinson's value became more clear. Henderson was a guy I was thinking about, but then obviously they traded for Sonny Michel. So there's this whole group of people that are either rookies or that are part of these committees that I like, but I just don't know where to peg the value on them from a pricing standpoint. Like, I know kind of like in my mind where they're ranked, but I don't know what they're going to go for. And the problem is that, like, I don't know if I don't take a maybe one or two big shots early and grab one or two players that, like, I know should produce. I don't know that I can wait around to see kind of where those guys get priced in, because I might think that they might go in like the $10 to $15 range, 10 to 20, but they end up going for like low 20s, which is a completely different thing when you're in the back half of the draft. So I'm kind of all over the place right now. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do walking in tomorrow.
I'll just say I had a version of my draft strategy that revolved around J.K. Dobbins.
he was in the mix as my
top target at running back. Like, if I wanted to go kind of cheap on the running back position, J.K. Dobbins was going to be my guy. So that's out the window now.
Yeah, I was researching him just in case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people will be looking down there at Chris Carson. Mm-hmm. And being like, I'll just get Carson for my running back too. It'll be good. Chris Carson is going over $30, everyone. Just easily over $30.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN listed prices was at 18 and before Dobbins got hurt. Now it's at 26. Even if it was at 18, it was going over 30. Now it's 26, it's going over 34. And I'll be in the mix. I'll be in the mix.
As long as you're not in the mix.
Hey, with the shitty year he had last year, I think he was still an RB11. Like, that's, you know, it's what you want, right?
I've never once been in the mix on Chris Carson. Mm-hmm. I'll be in the mix this year if he's going under 30. So I know he's going over 30. That's how I know. Yeah. So go ahead and pencil that one in if you guys are planning on Chris Carson going for cheap.
Yeah. No, I was not planning on that, because I think there's too many people aboard the Chris Carson hype train in this league.
We still have a few members on
that train.
If you scroll down the values and you get down past like Mixon, I think he's at like 39 right now. And then you got like Miles Sanders, Swift, it was Dobbins. And Josh Jacobs, like all these guys down there, and Carson's down there with him, and you're like, well, I know Carson's not going to be awful as long as he stays healthy. So everyone's going to suddenly see, like, man, I got to get Carson, I got to get him now, and that's how Chris Carson's going to go. So maybe nominate him early if you guys want him.
We'll see.
Hope these slides in the slides in there, because I am. Mm-hmm. I am very aware that some of these running backs down there are going to start. If two people like them, they're going to just go, because there's only 10 to 15 at the top, and then it just starts getting wishy-washy. And last year, the guys were in that wishy-washy spot. Everyone thought were going to suck, and they did suck, like Melvin Gordon, James Conner. So these were like the $20 to $30 guys last year. David Johnson.
Right.
Who actually was pretty average for most of the year. But yeah, and then some people kind of didn't. Even they got bit up a little bit. Gurley.
Right.
But now there's actually some intriguing guys down there. I think they all get bit up. Anyway.
There are. It's a different. I looked at that last year and I just said, I don't want any part of any of these, like, top, like, below the top 10. I don't want any part of from, like, 10 to 25. I'll just take guys 25 and below. This year, yeah, maybe a little different this year with that, guys.
One thing that's also a little bit different is last year, there were no running backs with pre-draft prices, which we all know will influence people's behavior. There were none listed between $26 and $50. This year, there are 8 in that range.
Interesting.
So what that's going to mean, I don't know. But I thought that was interesting that where there had been this huge void in the prices, and then inevitably you see some of those guys who are 17 going for 22 or something. How that's going to change people's behavior.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, like, I feel like the price realize that. Wow. Is inflated, right? I keep seeing it. I mentioned this last week or last time we did a podcast, and I'm seeing it now looking at ADPs. Like, it's just running backs are like 8 to 10 of the first, like they're between 8 and 10 picks of like the first 11 picks, or 8 or 10 choices of like the first like 11 picks. Basically, in every ADP I'm seeing, the first wide receiver is either usually Adams or Hill, and they're not coming off until like spot 10, 11, or 12. So it's just it, like you're seeing just straight up RBs coming off the board to start off. And I don't think we've ever seen that heavy of a lean towards one side before.
If you end up, yeah, if you end up looking at the prices, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, this is auction, but I think the way you frame that is to say, I would not be surprised if 8 or 9 of the highest priced players that are being bid on end up getting 1 are running backs versus wide receivers. Like, I only see 2 guys in my mind, 2 guys that are worth more than $50, $55, and that's Adams and Hill. Everyone else, I feel like, is not worth that price point. I think that's what we're seeing with the ADPs.
It'll be weird where that settles in on the running backs, because there's definitely a lot of questions with them too, though. Like, Adams and Hill are probably going to go for more than Eckler. Like, I don't care what the ADPs say in our league. Like, they'll be right around what, like, Jones goes for, I think. Like, it's like the 9th player, yeah. 9th highest player.
I think that's fair, yeah. I don't know if Hill's going to go that high.
I think but. Maybe. I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of how people nominate, because that also dictates things, right? If we have, if the first 6 nominations are running backs, right, that's a lot of money off the board very quickly, and that'll shape things. So maybe like those running backs that are sort of in that, 6 to 10 range, right, which is like you're talking Barkley, Taylor, Chubb, Eckler, Mixon, Harris. Those might actually be like some of the best values right after the big money's being spent on the first couple of running backs.
Yeah, no. The order of the nominations is really interesting to see. Along those lines, Gelch will probably be nominating his defense early enough.
And then Heino will swoop in and pay.
I will swoop in. Yep. Actually, I did not mind that last year because Pittsburgh was great for
$10
for a
while. You end up being the first non-defensive streamer to score the most defensive points in the regular season. And as long as I can remember.
So lesson there, pay up for your defense, everybody.
Yeah, Jacksonville Jaguars pay like $6 for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming in
after the AFC. Who did that? That did not work out.
No, it didn't.
Hey, I think Jake also used to do that strategy of nominate the defense early.
He did. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I realized that.
Chaz, by the way, Jake was a league member of ours for about 8 years or so. Just
yes.
Want to get you up to speed there.
Some pronounce his name Jake. I realized I forgot that in the top 3 tight ends, I didn't say who I thought Kittle was going to. And I think he goes a bit under what he's listed. I think he goes significantly cheaper. And I think he falls into the lap of Joe Mancuso. I think Joe Mancuso does not.
You think he tries maybe to bid up Kittle, and as a result ends up with them after?
No, but I think it's like Kittle's at like going to be at like, I have a feeling that with the injuries, it's like I don't know, like $18. I really want to pay more. Is brittle Kittle a thing? And then Mancuso will be like, well, I don't want him to go for $17. Yeah, I'll pop in there. Maybe it goes up. And like, well, okay, I'll take him for $18. So that's
I would take Kittle for $18.
I would take George Kittle for $18 too. So he's not going to.
He's been rough since the like 2 years ago, though, injuries and offense, not him really. Mm-hmm. So who knows? People have been several people because he was awful in the playoff challenge 2 years ago too, when the Niners went to the Super Bowl. Yep. Because they never threw the ball the entire time.
Correct.
I think he got like 8 points in 3 games or something like that. So
yeah.
So there's at least two people out there who are anti Kittle, but I do think he'll go undervalued though. I like that, I guess, because especially if he gets nominated before the other two, which is very possible. He probably might settle in at like 24 or 26. People be like, I kind of want Kelsey, maybe want Waller. Don't know if I want to pay for Kittle. I'll pass, and someone grabs him. I don't know if it'll be me.
So
I was all on Irv Smith. So yeah. I was all on Irv Smith, and he just broke my heart. I was gonna pay up to $6 for Irv Smith. And now I'm back to the drawing board. It's tight end. Anything's possible.
So this is the part. Well, this is where I'll throw some darts. I went through and listed each person's team, and then said, all right, this is one person who I'm gonna go with. Who's going to land on their team. So I'll just run through these in rapid fire and feel free to disagree with any of them or to throw in your own suggestions. But for Joe Mancuso, I think he ends with LaVisca Chenault.
Let me just segue into something really quick there. Chenault is the player I have predicted for most irrational bidding war of the night.
Ooh.
He's listed at like, what, like $5 or $6?
Yeah, I think $6.
He is the guy that is going to go like, how what the fuck? $17, $18 for LaVisca?
No, just,
I mean,
maybe not that high, but I feel like that's the irrational bidding war of the night, LaVisca Chenault.
Won by Chris Weinkoop.
And it's weird. If you're looking at ADPs right now, Chenault is going, on average, in the 9th round. DJ Chark is... or he's going an average late 9th. DJ Chark is going early 9th for ADP. So who would you rather have for your 9th round pick?
I don't know. I guess Chenault.
Probably neither, honestly. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm just
know.
Going all the Jacksonville defense. The Jacksonville team, I think, this year.
I have no idea what to do with Jacksonville, to be honest. I'm not even – not tipping my hand at all. Like, that's just a black box. Like, I don't know. But there's some good things that I'm like, yeah, why is Chenault so much ahead of Chark? But also, Chark was really bad last year. But also, Chenault wasn't good either because the whole team was a disaster. I don't know. No idea.
Wasn't Chenault a rookie last year?
This is more rapid fire. Yeah, he was a rookie.
Yeah.
They didn't let him really run past the line of scrimmage much either.
But Joe Mancuso was in on him early last year. And it's tough sometimes when you're in on a guy before everyone else is in on a guy. It's it stays with you.
We continue, Gelch.
Heino, I think, goes for Rodgers. We know Heino will spend a little bit more at QB, and we know the affection for the Jeopardy co-host or guest hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Chaz, this is the one I'm not certain, because I mentioned earlier that I went back and forth whether Chaz went with CMC and Cook. If he does get Cook, as I predicted earlier, maybe this one doesn't come true, but I had Justin Jefferson pegged for Chaz. We do know Chaz is a believer for Kirk Cousins.
I do like him. Yep.
And then this is kind of also a hedge, similar to before with my prediction of Adams going to Kat. If she doesn't get Adams, then I'm going to say she gets Aaron Jones. For Rachel, I've got DeAndre Swift going to her. Again, she doesn't spend more than $30, at least so far, for running backs. Swift, his value is taking a little bit of a hit this summer. This is the next one's a layup. Gates. I think Mooney goes to Gates. I think he spends whatever he needs to. The next one I had written was Job Marquise Brown. Not. I think there's a 0% chance that Joe O'Brien drafts a Ravens wide receiver. But I could see him going back to the Samuel well, except this time going for Curtis Samuel instead of Debo. I gave my prediction already for Johnny and Tim with one of the Joneses. Tim, I think he gets either Brandon Cooks or AJ Green, some old veteran that no one really wants. It probably goes for $1. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Weinkoop, I'll say, he targets someone. Weinkoop always loves a running back who's a little bit cheaper, who he pegs as his breakout guy. Todd Gurley was one of those people who I lost the bidding war to the year he exploded, and I was very upset. So I'm going to guess Gibson Harris or Edwards-Helaire. And then for Riley, I'm going to go Deontay Johnson. Those are my darts that I'm throwing.
I love
good darts. Good
Coop,
darts.
Coop for a second. Those are good darts. I love Coop on Gibson, maybe even Harris. Yeah, that's definitely right up his alley. I also think he's going to be heavily involved in Justin Jefferson, because both Coop and I are just,
yes,
just can't even hear that name without being like, man, got to head Justin Jefferson loss for the Eagles a little bit.
I almost went Coop for him as well, but he was in the mix before I settled on Chaz.
Coop has always loved his young receivers too, which is one of the things that's held him back at times when he misses on a couple of them, and they're just wide receiver threes instead of the upside wide receiver threes that he drafts them as. So that Jefferson, that's his old mold, but you know, he's grown, he's changed a lot since he's last really driving the bus. So we'll see how he drives it now. I don't know. He's a big X factor, just like Gates, but for different reasons.
I don't have any
darts.
I kind of, podcast gave most of my predictions here.
I have a game for us. I didn't really spend my time doing predictions, but I decided to take a book from the Fortuna Samson, from the Fortuna Samson book, and we're going to play a game of over under. So what I've got here is I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 7 over unders. The first 4 are related to the 4 of us, so you won't be able to comment on your own over-under. I'm going to record this, and then we're going to see who's got the most right. So we'll start off with Hino. So Hino can't answer this one, but over-under,
okay,
number of 49ers on Hino's team, we're setting it at 1.5. So
over. Over. Debo plus I'm one
also,
more.
I'm also saying over. Okay. 1.5, number of running backs or wide receivers that Chaz has on his team, so I won't answer this one, that cost more than $60.
Under.
What's the over? The 1.5, under. Under.
Did you say 60?
Yeah, he said 60.
$60.
60 for wide receivers? A wide receiver's never gone for 60, back, right?
Running backs or wide receivers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll still say. I'll
but
still
if there was one to go for, if there was one to go over 60, Chaz would be the one to do it.
So, guys, you're
I think we're still at 57.
I'm under.
Under, okay. So now I know that I don't have to spend more of that just to get you guys wrong on that.
Yeah, please do. Just wrong. I would love that.
Yeah. 0.5, number of wide receivers that cost more than $50 for Joe Mancuso.
Under.
Under.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going under.
I mean, basically, okay. I think that
he trusts his ability in drafting people too much to ever go $50.
I think what you're essentially saying is that he goes for Davante Adams there, and I just don't think he does that. So I'm not convinced that he'll go over 50.
I did pay 53 for Antonio one year, but that's all I'll say.
And that was it.
All right, last one is Gelch. 2.5, number of players that Gelch has on his team that costs between $25 and $35.
Over.
Cost between what?
20 and 35.
Between 25 and 35. 2.5.
Oh, 25.
I'll go over.
Over. I'm also going to say over. All right, now this is for all of us. 4.5. Number of running backs over $60.
Under.
I went under.
Yeah, I think it's just CMC and probably maybe Cook.
It depends on the nomination order.
I'm going over. I think CMC, Kamara, Cook, Henry, all could go over. Oh, did I say 4.5?
But you said 4.5 though. So who's the fifth?
Yeah. I'm going to round into that. We're going to say 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have still taken an under on 2.5 even. I'm with Hino.
Yeah.
Unless there's a very specific nomination order to get them all above 60.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. 2.5. Number of QBs on Gates' team at the end of the draft.
That's a great question.
Not over. Drop.
I hope for over, but I'm going to say under still.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I'll echo Hino's.
I'm going to say under.
Don't let me down, Gates.
Last one. 3.5. No, sorry. 2.5. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Number of tight ends over $25.
What was that?
2.5. Number of tight ends over $25.
Over.
Under.
Over.
I am saying under.
I think Kittle might go
high. Yeah, points. Reference Kittle discussion. I could see him sneaking in at 24, but the last 2 years, since I stole Kelsey cheap, this has not been a cheap tight end arc at the top.
But even do you think they're gonna be? I could even see Waller going for under 25. So we'll see. I don't know if there's that much Darren Waller love. I guess we'll find out.
I think there is.
So they're
he was on a championship winning team.
38 and 33 are their respective prices, Waller and Kittle pre-draft, unless they change ahead of tomorrow. So it's not wouldn't be a shock for Kittle to go under. Waller, our old tight end days, would go under, but not recently. I don't know. It could be close. Yep. It's good question,
so
Chaz.
For my game. So I guess we'll come back and we'll see afterwards where these things land.
I shared this with Joe at one time. I will predict one person who I will not end up with on my team. And you guys can take this one and do with it what you will. I will not have Kyle Pitts on my team. You know, you all can have fun bidding him up tomorrow, but I will not be going down the Kyle Pitts road.
Kat actually asked me that question today. She goes, "Who is Kyle Pitts?" I'm like, "This tight end from Florida that like everybody's in love with because Julio is no longer in Atlanta. So it's basically like Calvin Ridley and like Kyle Pitts are like the assumed major target shares." It's rare that we see first year tight ends break out.
Right.
You know, obviously you have some exceptions like Andrews, but even then, like I wouldn't say call his a breakout. He was emerging, but it just might be that there's just no one else to throw to there. I don't get the love for Kyle Pitts. I don't see it, but that's just me. I'll be curious to see kind of where he goes. I think he could be very polarizing. I think relative to his cost, he may end up paying dividends. I just don't know.
I can see Kyle Pitts being a Gates guy.
Absolutely. Well, so I don't know. Maybe I'm tempted to put your subterfuge to the test. I know, and nominate Pitts first when it's my turn.
Go right. Please do.
But I would say
get some money off the board for me, please.
I feel so confident that if Jacque were still in the league, he would absolutely draft Kyle Pitts. what do you think, Joe? Your brother be locked in on Kyle Pitts?
Oh yeah, that's very likely. Right up his alley. Back from when he took both the Luck and Griffin in their rookie year, and actually worked out pretty well for him that year, I think. But yeah, he would have absolutely on him. Hino's definitely not bluffing. He does not want Kyle Pitts on his team. It would be really embarrassing if he accidentally hit Ben and got him on his team for like $20. I actually think he's kind of a wine coop guy more than the Gates guy. He's too trendy to be a Gates guy. Way too trendy.
It's funny.
Fields might even be. I'm going to make a prediction. Fields is not enough on Gates' team. And Gates largely stays out of the bidding war, and he goes and gets like Lance or something. Trevor Lawrence, like something he's just going to go against the grain.
Yeah.
That's could so be. Funny you mentioned Coop for Kyle Pitts. He was another person where I was like, I feel like Coop gets involved with one of those guys, maybe Waller, maybe Pitts.
If you were targeting Pitts and you see Gates really wants him, that would really be the Pitts.
All right. Any other thoughts? We're just about an hour now, so I think it's a good timing. I can make sure I get this one out tonight. Any other final parting thoughts before the draft tomorrow?
Wait, sorry. Just a reminder. This is going to get posted after the draft. so as not to influence people's behavior.
Correct? Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I should probably not do that. Okay, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I won't post this sign.
Yeah, that'll be more interesting, I think, for people seeing if
you should post it like 45 minutes into the draft and see if people listen to it while drafting.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got one final question. Is what prediction on price for Michael Thomas? Does he get drafted? If so, at what amount?
He's very intriguing to me in a snake setting, because if you have IR, right? Right now he's going in like the, where's he going? He's going in the McDonald's, like 7th, 8th, 9th range. Like, to me, that seems like a big win, because generally at that point, you're usually looking to start building out your bench. And so, like, he seems like a player that's fairly cheap to pick up and could end up paying you dividends. Like, I don't think there's no way you could draft that late, I think, right now, that you could absolutely know that they'd be like a top performer without them having a breakout. So I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say he goes 15 to 20, somewhere in there. That's why I think someone went this for him on the off chance.
Sorry, you said $15 or $20?
Yeah.
For Michael Thomas? Have you looked at what his pre-draft value is?
No.
It is significantly less. $4.
What? He's expected to come back at some point this season, isn't he?
I think so. But it seems like there's a bit of uncertainty as to when.
Oh, yeah, so maybe $5 to $10. Maybe then.
Maybe he ends up on your team.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
So I was like, Michael Thomas getting away for $5. He puts in a bid for $6, and all of a sudden Chaz has Michael Thomas on his team for $6 or something like that.
Yeah. First 5 games of the season, he's definitely projected in this. Interesting.
I would guess $11. 1-1.
Yeah, 10-11 feels right.
Someone's going to take that gamble later.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Absolutely.
Somebody will pay a few bucks for it, yeah.
Somebody will see their receiver situation, and they'll grow more desperate and be like, man, my receivers really could be bad. We need a little bit of upside there. Someone else will be like, I really think Michael Thomas is good. Won't be capped, though.
But, like, is Michael Thomas going to be he's not going to be the same without Drew being thrown at him. So, like, do we handicap for that because of Jameis Winston?
I don't know. Jameis has shown he can support elite fantasy production for both defenses and offenses. If it was Taysom Hill, I'd handicap him. But what Jameis should be okay. Am I gone?
Maybe Ian Buck will be the starter by the time he comes back.
You're still here, Joe.
Okay, there we go. Got it. I cut out on the sound for a second.
I'm trying to see if there are any other last minute predictions I had here. Chaz, I had you pegged for we're pegging again. I had you pegged for Taylor and DK.
Jonathan Taylor?
Yes.
You know, I definitely liked him, but I just I keep hearing all these things that are going wrong with their offensive line. I just that scares me a little bit. But I definitely like him.
You're gonna want him because, you know, I mean, Nelson's out now, but you're gonna want a running back running behind one of the best offensive linemen from Notre Dame ever. So I think Jonathan Taylor's your guy, and you tried to get DK from me like 3 times last year. So I think you're gonna end up okay. Yeah.
2011, Joe Mancuso would absolutely draft Jonathan Taylor, and he'd be my number one target going in, just FYI. But I don't know if I'm going to. I don't know. I think I'm going to. I don't know. We'll see. In the 40s. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of people. I think a lot of people are kind of like, I think a lot of people will be kind of looking like, yeah, in the 40s, I will, for a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. But maybe not in the 50s. This is going to be a lot of uncertainty at the top. I have a lot of uncertainty at the top. Everyone I've talked to has been like, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well, they might be playing coy too.
Yeah.
But because I have somebody I'm targeting that's a 10, 12 pick kind of person, and we'll see what he goes for tomorrow. I don't know. If the bidding goes too high, then I'm gonna drop out, and I'll revert to another strategy, but no, I am targeting somebody in that range, and we'll just see what happens.
Yep. Yep. All right. Anything else?
No, I think we're good to go.
I think we're good.
Thanks, everyone, for participating. Audience at home, we hope you like it. Please like and subscribe and follow us on YouTube. We'll see you after the draft. Good luck, everyone. Have fun.
Enjoy this Monday, September 6th draft, Chaz. It's going to be great.
Thank you. All right, and we're out.